Hear these words from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. John is, of course, the fourth gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you're wanting to find it in your own Bible, it's right after Luke, right before Acts. And we're about halfway through the story in John's gospel. We've kind of dialed back in time a little bit. This is before the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus is in Jerusalem. John 10, starting in verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, O Lord our Shepherd, we give you thanks this day that you hold us in the palm of your hand and that nothing can snatch us from your grasp. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to believe, not like those who were speaking with Jesus in this story, but like your disciples who trust in you. Help us to hear from you this day as we reflect together on this passage here. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to take a moment to consider what it is that we're doing here, right now in this space. What we're doing here, right now in this space, is really kind of odd. In our world anymore, things like this, moments like this, don't happen very often. It's not very common for a group of people to come together and put away all distractions and hear one voice. You know that's the case, right? You can't watch a half-hour television program without there being, what, three or four commercial breaks? Each of which contains three or four advertisements for products that you never knew existed and that you don't really think you need, but maybe want, or maybe not. You just want to get back to the show. Many voices interrupting our everyday lives. Every time you drive down the highway or listen to the radio in the car, you see billboards or you hear radio ads. There are all of these voices. Every week you receive flyers in the mail advertising different products to you. You can't go anywhere online anymore without seeing an ad for something. And they're getting smarter. Do you realize that? You click on one link. I was clicking on one particular thing because I was interested in one little piece of electronics, just kind of exploring some options. And all of a sudden, every time I did some other kind of internet search, even on other sites, you want this? Here's an ad for it. Well, go away. I'm still thinking, that kind of a thing. There's so many voices in our world clamoring for our attention. But here, in this place, for these moments, we put all distractions aside. We put down our cell phones, we put down our video games, we put down our TV remotes, and we focus our thoughts on the Lord and on His Word. Churches have always had sermons. There have always been messages, someone proclaiming God's word for the community to hear. And it's always been understood, at least when it's done right, that it's not about the one who's speaking, but it's about the Lord who is speaking to his people. We listen collectively, all of us, for the Lord in these moments. And it's hard for us, I think, On occasion, I find it difficult to focus my own thoughts. Perhaps today you find it difficult to focus yours, or on other days you have. It's hard for us to sit still. Ron, the sixth graders, they might teach you that, right? It's hard to sit still for half an hour. Pray for Ron, teaching the sixth grade boys. We always pray for him. Pray for all of our teachers, but, you know, especially Ron. And for Jerry, too, who he's in the nursery today with some grandkids of his. But pray for Jerry as he works with these boys, too. It's a challenging thing to do. Hard to sit still. We see that in them. But it's hard for us to sit still and to think about something intently, even for just a few minutes. It's hard for us to listen. In these moments, in this space, we all get to listen to my voice. Whoopee, you know that your voice is different than what you hear in your own hearing, because the physics of sound waves and where your ears are. I kind of like what I hear. I don't like what you hear. I think my voice sounds kind of funny. But it's not about my voice at all. It's about what God is saying to his people. That's why we gather. That's what this is all about. In this passage from John 10, Jesus uses the language of sheep to describe his people. Now, I don't have much experience with sheep on my own. Quick show of hands, how many of you have raised sheep at some point in your lives or even now? Okay, wow, not that many. Connie has, and Nancy, and Ron. How about that? Goats? Well, they're pretty close, I guess, sheep and goats. There was something in Scripture about that. Anyway, sheep, my understanding of sheep, is that they're not real bright animals. Is that the case? Okay. Of course, yes. You're very smart animals. There's something, though, about sheep. They know the voice of their shepherd. They know who takes care of them. This is where my skills as a shepherd would fail if I were to be raising sheep, because as far as our experience with dogs goes, they don't listen to our voices too well. They know our voices, but they don't pay attention, so we don't know what to do with that. But sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They stay close to the shepherd because there's safety there, there's security there, there's food there, okay, we'll be honest, sure, there are these good things. There's even a sense of identity for the sheep. This is what we have in common with sheep, I guess. Don't want to push the analogy too far, but Jesus did anyway, so we should think about ourselves as his sheep. There is trust there. There is comfort there. There is peace in our relationship with the Lord. There is even a sense of identity. We know who we are because we listen to the voice of the shepherd. That's why Psalm 23 is so important. The Lord is my shepherd. That's why our heritage hymn, the Lord our shepherd, we'll follow the Lord all the way, is so important, because it reminds us to listen for the voice of the shepherd. I find it remarkable in this passage that Jesus says all of these things about who his sheep are, but he doesn't say them to his people. He says them to the people who don't believe in him, to the Jews, probably the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious authorities, folks who were God-fearing but did not understand who Jesus was. I find it fascinating that Jesus did not tell them just how bad their lives were because they didn't believe in him, or how dangerous it was for them not to believe in him, or how terrible their future might be if they didn't believe in him. He didn't say anything like that. What he did say was how good life is for those who do hear his voice and respond. There is eternal life. There is hope. There is peace. I wonder if that says something about how we ought to go about sharing the gospel with others. Rather than trying to scare them away from an eternity without the Lord, maybe we would do well to speak about how life can be transformed by believing in this great shepherd. This passage from John 10 highlights a very specific truth that affects not just the Jews in the story and not just those people out there who don't believe in Jesus, but really affects all of us. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so says Scripture. Scripture also says all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us have at one point in our lives been away from the Lord. And what John 10 highlights for us is how it's so easy for people to mistake the identity of Jesus and to ignore his voice, to hear what he has to say, but then to turn away and to go their own way. All of us have done that, and all of us are able to do that. In response to this truth, Jesus is very clear. The Jews say, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, if you're the Savior, the Anointed One, why don't you just come out and say it? Say it plainly. Jesus is very clear and very direct. I've already told you that. He rarely answers with a yes or a no or a this is exactly the truth, but he tells us in more words than that. I've already told you and you do not believe me. Jesus is the Messiah, and because his people know him, they are transformed. Their lives are changed. In the past few weeks, and in several weeks to come, we're going to be thinking about the gifts that Jesus gives to his disciples. Those things that he gives to them that change their lives. Those things that are transformative. Those things that the world really needs to have, but has not figured out just yet, like the Jews in this story. This week, the gift that Jesus gives to his disciples is clarity for those who listen. Clarity for those who listen to his voice. So often when we think about our relationship with the Lord, when we think about worship, when we think about our own devotional lives, we tend to put our devotional lives and our worship experiences and our relationship with the Lord in a one-directional manner. We tend to think of it as us doing something to God. We sing songs to God. We lift up our prayers to God. We give our offerings to God. It's one directional. We do this one directional thing. But really, the relationship that we should have with the Lord is intended to be two directional. It's intended to be a give and take. It's intended to be a covenant relationship where God gives us gifts as well, where God speaks to us as well. We do all the talking. Or sometimes maybe it feels like we do all the talking in this relationship. But there is no relationship with Christ without listening for his voice. Listening for the voice of God speaking into your life is part and parcel of what it means to have a relationship with Christ. It's the same thing as if you were in relationship with any other person. Take a marriage relationship or another family relationship. If you don't listen to the other person, there's no relationship there. You can speak all you want. You can talk all you want. But that doesn't make for a relationship. It's a give and take. It's a two-way thing. So it is with our relationship with the Lord. There's no relationship with Christ on a personal level. And, friends, there's no relationship with Christ on the level of a church. If we as a church do not listen for the voice of God, we have no relationship with God. We're just doing our own thing. How important it is for us as a church to listen for the voice of God. This is why it's important for us to announce ahead of time these special business meetings, to call new members to our church council, the leadership group of this church. I hope you pray for your church council members, because their task is big and there are many choices to be made and directions to move for this church, and they're all very important things to do. And as we select new people to take on new roles, and we normally do that in October at our regular business meeting, but special circumstances call for special, you know, things. As we put new people into new roles, I hope you lift them up in prayer too. That we would be wise in making decisions, and that the folks who come in to take on these roles of responsibility would be careful to listen for the Lord's voice in their own activities too. How important it is for us to listen for the voice of the shepherd. Why some people choose to listen to that voice and others choose to go a different way is a mystery. I don't get that. I don't understand it. And the passage that Brennan read for us from Acts Acts chapter 13? Yeah. Hey, my memory worked there. Acts chapter 13, the passage Brennan read for us just a minute ago, talks about how some people understood and some people didn't. And Paul and Barnabas rejoiced in the Lord even though they were being persecuted for being faithful to the message that had been entrusted to them. Why some people choose to believe and others don't is a mystery that is left for God's wisdom to explain. We don't get to figure that one out. And it's hard, and it's sad, but it doesn't take us off the hook of proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and of what the faith is all about. And at the same time, we can't forget that great gift that Jesus gave to his disciples, those who do choose to hear his voice and to respond, this clarity of life, this clarity of vision, this clarity of existence that he gives to those who listen for his voice. In this passage from John 10, Jesus says that his sheep, his people, are known by him. Their problems, their dreams, their hopes, their fears, these things are known by the shepherd. His people follow him. They follow him in his vision, in his mission, in his choices, in his behaviors. Those choices, those behaviors, that vision, that mission becomes ours as well. His people are given eternal life, where there is hope instead of fear, there is peace instead of conflict, there is transformation instead of the same old existence. If the events of this past week have taught us anything, it's that the world is really good at fear and at conflict and at the same old existence. I'm talking about the Boston Marathon bombings and the explosion that happened in Texas and the earthquake that took place over in China, killing hundreds. The world is what the world is. It's a place full of accidents and it's a place full of evil. And it's really good at keeping on with that trajectory. The people who belong to Christ, though, are given eternal life even in this world, even now, hope and peace and a new way of living that is different from the way the world knows. What a great gift Jesus gives to his disciples. His sheep will never perish. John 3:16, another verse that most everybody knows who has gone to church for any length of time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever, if you're King James, believeth in him, should not perish, there it is, but have everlasting life. There is eternal life. There is hope. And there is a promise that we will not perish. What a great hope that we have. They will never be snatched from his hand. Did you catch that? Jesus said it twice, a couple of different ways. Those who hear his voice and respond to him will never be taken away from his hand, never be taken away from his Father's hand. He and the Father are one, remember. Now we have to be kind of careful here, because a lot of folks will take this passage and make it say, oh, so once you're saved, you're always saved, and there's no possibility that you could ever turn away. We don't believe that here in the Church of God. We don't believe that you are once saved, always saved. You just get dunked in the water and you're good for the rest of your life and you can live how you choose. No. No, there's something called holiness. We have to make right choices. We have to keep up our end of the bargain. We have to be faithful. Everybody agrees on that, I think. So what does it mean to say that we can never be taken out of his hand? We can never be taken out of the Father's hand? I'd like you to read on sometime, today or later this week, read on the rest of this story from John 10, because Jesus and the Jews continue to have conversations about this, and the final words that Jesus said in the passage we read today, "I and the Father are one," did not go over very well with the Jews. Remember? That's blasphemy, so they thought. To equate yourself with God? Well, it is, unless you're God. And Jesus gets off on the technicality there that he actually is God and he's okay to say that. I and the Father are one. But the Jews didn't believe, remember? And so they took up stones to kill him by throwing rocks at him, stoning him to death. Conversation continues and somehow Jesus eludes their grasp. I never understood how he could do that, but he did. Got through their clutches and went his own way. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. It wasn't Jesus' time yet. No one could snatch him out of his Father's hand. Until his Father's hand said, now is the time for him to be given up. Now is the time for him to be betrayed and crucified. Now is the time. That's the season we're in now, remembering the story of Jesus on the cross and the empty tomb, the season of Easter, the joy of resurrected life. There was a specific time that God had in mind for that, and this was not it yet. Those who hear the voice of Christ, those who listen and receive the clarity of existence, will never be taken out of the Lord's hand. It has more to do with mission than it has to do with security. It has more to do with mission than it has to do with being safe. Now it's time for us to be spent for the kingdom of God. Those who listen for the shepherd's voice will never be taken from his hand. Through Jesus' acts of shepherding and through his living example of being faithful to the mission of God, even though the world was throwing stones, or wanted to, at him, even though the world would crucify him, by doing these things, Jesus provides clarity for his disciples when they listen to his voice. The beauty of the Christian faith is that we become more like the shepherd the longer we are around him. This is the same thing as in our human relationships. You become like the people that you are around. That's why it's so important for us to teach our children well when they're in school, to surround themselves with the right kinds of folks. When they're young adults, to surround themselves with the right kinds of people, because you become like the people that you're around. Am I right? So you surround yourself with good influences, with people who are encouraging, with people who are Christ-like, and you become more like them. So should we surround ourselves with Christ, the Good Shepherd, so that we become more like him. We should listen intently for his voice. We should learn to follow his leadership. We should study his word. We should worship regularly with each other. We should learn to be sensitive to his will, to his desires in our lives. When we pray, it should be a two-way conversation. Now, this works differently for different people. I think of prayer as kind of an open-ended relationship. You just live sort of in an attitude of prayer. Sometimes you forget to, but other times, oh, yes, I'm in this mode of living in a communication with God. And it's okay to listen sometimes. Do you do that on occasion? To put away all distractions? And to listen for the voice of the Lord? It's uncomfortable for us. We don't like silence. Nature abhors a vacuum, and American life abhors lack of busyness. Anybody have lots of free time in their lives? You can just block out half an hour and do nothing? I don't. Okay, well, that's called study hall or something, right? Thanks, Connor. Okay. No, that's fine. We all need to practice this discipline of listening for the voice of God. And it works differently for different people. Some folks will hear an audible voice. Other folks will have sort of an inner conscience, a prick of the spirit to say, this is the way I should go, or this is the way I should choose. Other people will hear God speaking to them through others, through the counsel of trusted friends and family. It works differently for different people. Sometimes you'll just find it right there in the pages of Scripture. However God speaks to you, which can change over time, by the way, do it. Listen for the voice of the Lord, because He's speaking. This is one of the core convictions that we have when we come to worship the Lord. The reason that we have this book, the reason that we have this Bible, is because we believe very firmly that God is still speaking to His people. This is why it's so important that we read Scripture well in worship. Today's session on how to be a Levite, reading Scripture in worship, is so important, because it's not just reading a book. It's not just reading a mystery novel or a piece of history or something. It's God speaking to His people. And that makes it important. It's got to be taken seriously. It's got to be done well. It's got to be done with integrity. We all need practice listening for the voice of God. There's one final blessing here that's easy to overlook from this chapter, from this passage from chapter 10 of John's Gospel. It's found in verse 29. I read it in the New International Version, and it read this way: "My Father who has given them," His sheep, "My Father who has given My sheep to Me is greater than all. My Father who has given My sheep to Me is greater than all." In the ancient manuscripts that we have for the New Testament, this is about 60-40. 60% of them will read that: "My Father who has given My sheep to Me is greater than all." The other 40% of the ancient manuscripts that we've got put it differently. And the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV, carries that translation forward for us. The NRSV puts it this way: "What My Father has given Me is greater than all." Not "My Father who has given My sheep to Me is greater than all." Not "the Father is greater," but "What My Father has given Me is greater than all." Oh, "What My Father has given Me," in other words, the sheep that He has given Me, is a greater gift than anything Jesus could have received. Does that make sense? That Jesus is actually blessed by His people? That Jesus considers His people to be a tremendous blessing to His life? Do you know that you are valuable to God? Do you know that you are loved by God? That you are a blessing to God? Because you are. We sing from childhood age that song that's so well known. This is a day for well-known things. Psalm 23, John 3:16, and "Jesus loves me." We all know the song, "Jesus loves me." We sing it so much that we kind of forget it. Jesus loves me even more than everything else that is His. "What My Father has given Me is greater than all." Greater than all? Everything belongs to Jesus, and we are greater than that? Why would Jesus not speak to that which is greater than anything else He has ever been given? Why would He remain silent in relationship to us? Listen carefully for the voice of the shepherd. If this makes sense to you, then you are one of His sheep. Listen to His voice. Know Him. Follow Him. But if all this talk about listening for God's voice doesn't make sense, if you do not really believe, then maybe you're not one of His sheep. Maybe you don't belong to Him. Not yet, anyhow. But consider the truth. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep, only to take it up again. This is the truth of the gospel. Jesus' sheep know His voice, even when a multitude of other voices compete for their attention. Friends, in a non-stop world full of confusion, constant interruptions, innumerable voices, commercial breaks every 7.5 minutes, surround yourself with Christ. Learn to listen for His voice, and share this voice with those around you, that the one flock of the Good Shepherd might grow larger. Amen. O Lord our God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your scripture, which has been preserved for us to hear and to be transformed by. Help us, Lord, to put our faith in you and to hear your voice speaking to each of us and speaking to us as your people. Conform us to your image and so change us so that the world might be changed through us by you as well. Give us grace and ears to hear what you are saying to your church this day.